Hello and welcome to a very special jam-packed episode of BJJ's Board Game Alliance, episode number 75. I am your host, Joey, previously a prototype, but now done doing Des Moines? What, D's? What is that?
Ah, yes!
Wow.
Yeah,
what's Des Moines?
It's also demoing.
Demoing.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines?
It is demoing. Man, that's got a lot of syllables and stuff. I don't know. Anyways, of course, they have got me. With us, as always, is Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
And our nemesis, Sean Emerson of Think 12 Games.
Oh, hey, hey.
And back for special time, all the time.
Popular demand.
Vicky B running the board.
Hello.
Thank you guys for joining us. Josh, how can the lovely Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
Well, they can go to bjgeeknation.com and get all the podcasts, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
Maybe some Des
Moines. You could do some lots of Des Moines.
And we've got some stuff going on, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, which you can find out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes.
Which, give us a review, please.
Yes, 5 stars.
5 stars or some cool comments, and we may even read them.
Yes,
like Des Moines.
Like, if you have an opinion of Sean, you know, I'm just throwing that out
there.
He's
so awesome and lovely and wonderful.
Because we're all doing this out of the goodness of our hearts. I mean, even though we don't have a whole lot of that. So we want to hear from you guys. How are we doing?
Sean has goodness in his heart.
We have hearts.
It's there. There's tiny little slivers. If you dig far enough, you'll actually find it.
Wait till Christmas. You'll grinch it, right?
Exactly.
Well, we have a special guest with us in studio who's going to join us for this podcast that I know we spent a lot of time with. We have Ethan Lind of Zulus.
Hello.
Woo!
How we doing?
I'm sorry that you're here with us.
Sean's breaking things.
What did Sean do?
I don't know, something about Techno Buffalo just showed up.
Techno Buffalo?
Sean, I'm going to beat you like a rented buffalo. Like,
yes.
Ethan just came. You came in for the rent of the buffalo, didn't you?
That's the only reason I came in, to be honest.
That and a whole lot of board games.
What are we up to today, by the way?
Well, you know, we've had a couple of concert weekends. We've gotten a little sunburned.
So, yeah, for those who don't know, Joey and I actually do work for a radio station, and our radio station, over the weekend, we had a giant concert festival that we do every year, and we are off the rails because we're exhausted.
And Sean and Josh are just off the rails because
they're Sean and Josh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Isn't that, was the job description.
Right? And they're like, you know, we're going to have Ethan in, so what we'll do is we'll just start the Techno Buffalo early, that way he knows.
You like Techno Buffalo.
If you'd like to find out more about Techno Buffalo, I have no clue. It just showed up.
But anyways, Ethan, thank you for joining us. You have something cool going on at Zulus I'm going to tell you, I'm going to spend a lot of money on. BJ's going to spend a lot of money on. Everyone's going to spend a lot of money on.
Well, we mentioned it and probably weren't as clear as we could have been last week about Zulus Kickstarter program.
Right, right. So Zulus Kickstarter program is something new that I've kind of been working on for the last couple months, just kind of seeing how it goes, asking my customers, hey, is there a way I can help you guys get this Kickstarter or save you some money, save you on shipping? Because shipping can be insane with Kickstarter games. For example, I think one of my customers said the Bloodborne shipping was about $67.
What?
Yeah, that's high.
And I mean, that's for the whole thing.
Still.
So, you know, that's a lot of money. You know, if you're already spending $100 on the base pledge and then it was $250 for the 6 expansions plus shipping, that's over $400 for one game. So, I mean, I was saving 20% on all that plus free shipping. It came out to like $280.
Wow.
That's a lot better. So the whole goal is to just not only help us and help the Kickstarter, but help the customer save some money. And worst case scenario, they save on shipping. And if I can get them a discount of 10-20% off the Kickstarter, then I'll do it.
So, and like we mentioned before, I still get my cool Kickstarter exclusives, right?
Yeah.
So special card or mini.
With all the Kickstarters I've backed so far, I've been able to get every single thing that the customer can get. I can't guarantee that'll happen, but that's generally been the case. And it's super easy. Like, I just have people email me and say, here's what I want, and then I get it for them.
Nice.
Well, they give me money.
And if they want to follow the Kickstarter along, they could just back for $1
yes.
And then contact you guys and go, hey, you know, I'd like to get this. And you can, you know, hook them with a discount and, you know, all that free shipping and all that kind of stuff as well.
100%. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And super easy on them, too, because, you know, Kickstarters usually have a month runtime. And maybe you don't have the money yet. You know, you get a little more leniency with me. I can be like, hey, now the pledge manager's out. We can figure out what you want. And then you can just PayPal us. And it's super simple. everything's recorded in a nifty little Excel sheet I have.
That's awesome.
And yeah, you can get a receipt through PayPal, and so it's totally safe and everything.
That's awesome. I can't think of a better way to get a game cheaper than through Kickstarter. And, you know, like you mentioned, there's a problem sometimes when you don't have the money, or maybe you don't even know where it's shipping from and you don't even trust it, right? Because sometimes you go into Kickstarter and you're like, oh, man, this looks really cool, but are they going to actually send me my board game? You know, and it's good to know
that's never happened before.
No one's ever not gotten their stuff. And it sounds like it's a sweet deal because, obviously you're a game store yourself too, right? So it's legitimacy, it's straightforward, transparency, and you go, hey, you know, why pay an extra $60 in shipping when you can just buy it through us, essentially?
Exactly. And you're getting, like I said, you're getting everything that you would be getting normally, plus you have the safety of coming through a legitimate store, and I don't know, you're saving money.
And who doesn't want to save money?
More games that you can get.
More importantly, while you're there, there is peanut butter pie.
There's peanut butter pie, and ironically, people who will play board games with you, right?
And I've seen pictures of the new construction and everything. It is so gorgeous. You guys did a phenomenal job.
Two new rooms opened up. One's half outdoor and half indoor, I guess. It's like a room with no windows.
Like a windowless atrium.
Yeah.
I like it.
And on sunny days, it's super nice. We haven't had a super crappy day yet, so I'm not sure how that's going to be, but...
I love the room with the Game of Thrones banners.
Yes.
That's my favorite room. I feel like I'm in the hall, except no one's killing each other. Except maybe in board games.
I mean, BJ's yelling, so it almost feels like someone's killing somebody.
Just wait for a full game of Secret Hitler.
Yeah.
No.
No one.
We got to add some sound dampening to that room, so... People like BJ can be loud.
Yeah.
Or how about, is there like a device we can put on his mouth to tone him down? Like a silencer, if you will.
I think it's called a ball gag.
A rolled up song.
Oh my. Zulu's official ball gags now for that loud player in your group.
So again, if you want to get a game off Kickstarter, but you don't have the money, or maybe you just want to party and game with Ethan himself too, contact him, email him, Zulu's. Yeah, you want to give him a little contact info?
Actually, all you got to do is say... There's a couple things you do. You send an email to zulusgames.ks@gmail.com, which is Z-U-L-U-S games at, or .ks@gmail.com. Nailed it. I didn't practice. Come on.
That's fine.
No, and just say, hey, can I get a list of the games you guys are backing? Also, hey, are you backing this game? We just did Trudvang Legends, I believe, from Cool Meaning or Not. We actually do everything they do. And then you can say... I saw, what's the list or what's the prices and stuff. And it does fluctuate per game. Everyone's different. And sometimes I don't always know how that's going to happen. But we get it figured out. We just talk to you directly. You'll talk to me. And, yeah.
Oh, so there's a downside.
There's a downside.
But at the end of the day, you're getting a board game, so I think it's probably good.
Yeah, it's worth it.
And if you guys happen to be in the Seattle, Bellevue-ish area at any point, because I know we have Geek Nationals from all over the world, even Brazil, two different parts of the country, definitely check out Zulu's Board Game Cafe. It is so much fun, and it's just really homey. You feel like you're just hanging out with buddies, even if you're by yourself and everybody's there working, because there have been times where, has anybody played this game? And five of you, you're like, of course I have. Let me help you.
Yeah, they know the rules.
I was actually at the store back on Thursday, and there was a customer there that was looking through some stuff, and I just hey, you look like you're looking for some things. Can I help you out? And I helped get some good games that they were looking for in a very specific type, and point them out to a really good couple of titles. And they're like, oh, this is great. This is exactly what I'm looking for. So, yeah, I mean, everybody that shows up there is really helpful.
And the food's tasty.
Sean, how many times have I told you? They're not going to pay you to hang out.
I'm angling for it, man. It's my secondary job.
I think at this point, he's just hoping they don't kick him out. So I think this is a win-win.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's why we buy his games, at least. It's the best I can do.
Well, Ethan's going to stick with us for the rest of the podcast. But we have a little bit of an update on the Diana Jones Award, which is pretty awesome. Diana Jones?
Diana.
I nailed it the first time. Ha ha ha.
In Diana.
Whoa. In Diana. Isn't that interesting? Well, we had previously on an earlier episode told you about the nominees, but Josh, Sean, I hear we have some winners.
Yes, the winner of the 2019 Diana Jones Award for Excellence in Gaming is StarCross, a role-playing game by Alex Roberts. And if you don't remember, this is the using Jenga as your checks, a game of really wanting to get with that person, but really you can't.
Wait, wait, this sounds like my love life. What?
Yeah,
you use Jenga much. For your love life?
I mean, yes, I do have adult Jenga.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to say, Vicky builds it up and then it topples? No.
It's yeah. A little bit. It's just like you're trying to get with somebody, but it's not working. What's going on here?
There's no GM in this.
Okay.
And as you play through the game, you're playing with the other person, and mm-hmm. you want to get together. You want to make these choices to get together, but it's not good for you. You need to do other things. You need to not be together.
Again, this sounds like my love life. This is weird.
And that's why it's winning the Diana Jones Award for Gaming Excellence.
Hooray!
So, Vicky, award-winning love life.
Yay!
That's Starcrossed by Alex Roberts from Bully Pulpit Games, I believe.
Yeah, and they're going to be showing up in a future podcast.
Ooh!
Spoiler.
If you had to play Starcrossed with one person, who would you play it with? It could be anyone. Anyone.
Honestly, I think it would be interesting to play with anybody.
Really?
Just because when do you get that chance outside of social norms to really just have fun and let go and see how things can go?
That's true. That's true. I mean, plus you get to play Jenga.
And you get to play Jenga. Now, although I played at cons with giant Jenga going on in the background, nothing scares the crap out of you as like a sudden crash onto the concrete floor.
Oh, of all just, the giant Jenga pieces?
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Just every 10 minutes. Just.
Because in my head, I would think, who the heck just flipped over a board that intensely? You know, my gosh.
Exactly.
Sean, what did you do to BJ?
I'm going to take this off the rails a little bit and ask you guys, because this is a really good example. I have in my house two forms of Jenga, and both of them have been altered to become adult drinking Jenga. One of them is more PG-13. Like, the worst thing you have to do on there is hug and or kiss someone.
Ooh. God forbid.
Contact.
And then the other one we've never played because I'm the only single one in my group of friends. And my friend made me this for a housewarming gift once. And it's filthy. So I can't play this with anybody. But have you guys ever taken a game and altered it completely to be able to do something else like that?
Uno.
What do you do with Uno?
Uno was a game where every time someone had to draw a card, we decided to take a drink. Let me tell you.
I feel like alcohol is going to be a common
oh
theme here,
Lord.
By the way.
Yeah.
Not even a sip.
We didn't get
draw
through a
four.
Rotation.
Yes.
Yeah, because you know when you have to shuffle the deck, if you don't win the game of Uno, you like shuffle it up again and play again, essentially.
No.
Oh, man. We realized after the first draw four that we were not going to get to the shuffle the deck.
You don't drink, you sip.
Yeah, but you don't realize that when you're like, yeah, wow, this will be fine. We'll try it out. It'll be cool.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you, we got regressive when people had to draw two. We'd sit there and I'd be like, don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
What do you do the I call it the house rule, where do you put a draw two on a draw two? So, for example, if I put a draw two down that you have to draw two, could you put a draw two down so that Josh would have to take a four?
Oh, no, we
didn't.
That
is our house rule, and sometimes it would get bad, so where he would put a draw two down, then Sean would have to take six. And then it'd go down to like 12 sometimes,
wow.
So I'd have to draw 12 cards.
Oh my God, I would die. I would have been drunk and alcohol poisoned and everything. Actually, I have a new rule I'm going to implement, though, for Ethan when I'm at Zulu, is that every time I play a board game, I have to get a piece of peanut butter pie.
That's a good rule. I like that rule.
It's going to be a house rule, Ethan, but it's cool. We can share the pie together.
No, it's a good house rule for sure.
I like it. But do you guys have any other games? It doesn't have to be drinking, but it probably will be drinking.
I haven't altered any, but if I did and drinking was involved, a first one draw two, I'd be done. I'd be hammered. I don't really drink.
You could drink your
he's done.
Soda, I guess.
Diet Coke.
I gotta pee really bad.
No, I was just curious if anybody else has like altered any games for the just to spice it up, if you will. No?
All I've done is upgrade. I haven't.
Okay, so I guess Joe and I are the alcoholics. Sorry.
I know a lot of people add the additional players rule where you just smash two versions of the game together so you can play twice as many.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's
BJ.
BJ. I do love that, though, when it happens because he's like, I'm almost sure it'll be fine. And something gets broken on like the first turn. It's like, oh no. Well, that resource is clearly going to be busted.
Anyways, continue, Josh.
Next up, we also talked about the nominations for the Spiel des Jahres.
Spiel Awards!
That's like the Oscars.
Ooh.
First up was the Kenner Spiel. That's the kids' game.
Ooh, I love kids' games.
And the winner of that was Valley of the Vikings. Knock over the barrels and try to stay dry.
This reminds me of the monkeys that came in the little barrel you tried to hook together.
This is a kind of a bowling game with barrels and knocking over. It's by Haba, so if anybody knows kids' games, Haba. I think Haba's won every Kinderspiel ever.
Well, Haba kind of owns the kids' game market.
Yeah.
I mean, do they really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what games do they have?
Oh, good Lord. They've got a ton Rhino of Hero. Games.
Rhino Hero?
Yeah. Rhino Hero's huge.
I like the name of that game.
I've got a dragon flying around one where you put gems in this tin volcano.
Oh, Dragon's Breath.
Dragon's Breath, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you, at some point, you pull the tin, and basically the volcano erupts, and the gems go everywhere.
Oh, that's awesome.
They often have metal tins, metal parts in their games. They're pretty cool.
Do you show a lot of kids Rhino Hero, Ethan? Is that a really popular game?
Pretty much. Well, yeah, a lot of kids, but honestly, a lot of adults, too. It's the only kids game I've ever had a beer spilled on.
Enter us.
I hope for a good reason. Yeah.
Next, the Spiel des Jahres. This is the more all-around game of the year, and I think we'll all be in agreement. Just One.
Yes!
It's your choice. Make a difference.
We actually played that recently, a couple weeks back, before I left on my adventures. And we played it at my house, and it got... Shenanigans happened. It was awesome.
Shenanigans happened. Yeah, that's exactly how I would describe it. Yep. BJ was involved.
Yeah. No, that game is fantastic.
BJ wanted to know why he couldn't say more than one word.
I feel like he's played it enough to where he probably just thinks it now, but he doesn't say it out loud because he knows we'd berate him.
Ah. And the one we've all been waiting for, the more strategy-based, the... good.
It's okay, Josh. You can do it.
Good.
I was going to edit this out, but now I don't want to.
This is my first time on the podcast. I thought it was not yours.
No, this is normal.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's amazing.
This is totally normal. Okay, we just edited it all out.
I might not edit this out.
You might put some crickets in, though. That'd be pretty great.
Well, earlier, Valley of the Vikings was the Kinderspiel des Jahres. Kinderspiel. That was Valley of the Vikings. The Kennerspiel...
Oh, no.
...is the Gamerly game, and that is Wingspan.
This is the bird one.
This is the bird one by Elizabeth Hargrave, published by Stonemaier. And this game...
And this is one of the ones that you guys really like, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I remember you saying really good things about it. I think you guys played it when we went to Dice Tower in Vegas. I believe somebody played this.
Yes. Well, the thing about this game is... Stonemaier didn't even really hype it. They didn't push it so much. Mm-hmm. It came out, but it was so fun and so good and honestly kind of relaxing to play that then it just blew up and they needed more print runs. And I know one certain game store got, I think, in like one, and then I bought it.
Like one.
But I know a lot of people are getting them now, especially with them winning the Kennerspiel des Jahres.
Mm. I give you credit, as someone who mispronounces words all the time, maybe like 20 minutes ago.
Well, this is a game that's really attractive for people that are outside of the board gaming hobby. And I think it's one of the reasons why it's gotten so big. I mean, people that just like birds, people that are ornithologists, people that are, just kind of interested in playing something and just isn't some weird fantasy game or, some really dark theme. It looks really pretty. And you put it out there and it's got all these really cool components and just beautiful artwork. So it's really attractive for people to go, I can play this. And it's pretty easy to play, too.
And there's eggs and a birdhouse dice tower.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
You can build your own nest.
You can't. Well, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Game. It's like you figured it out, Joe.
You know what? I'm on top of it. It's almost as if I've seen some pictures of the game.
Jesus.
Well, next up, recently, last weekend, or currently this weekend, I can't remember, Gen Con.
Ooh, Gen Con.
The largest board game convention in North America.
And I think,
possibly the world.
And BJ's been moping around this last couple weeks, just like, I don't get to go.
I know, he had to work on the Gen Con weekend, and you guys know that feeling you have, you're like, man, the coolest thing I want to be at is on the one weekend I can't leave because of work.
Was it FOMO?
Yeah,
fear of missing out.
And there's a lot to miss out on Gen Con. Now, we went over our preview, what we thought, what we wanted last week, but the in-flight report from Fantasy Flight came out, and of course they're releasing lots of new Star Wars Armada, lots of new X-Wing, Star Wars Legion. In Keyforge, there's two new factions coming out, the Grand Star Alliance. It's more of like a Federation-type coalition of different races. And the Surian Republic. Think Roman dinosaurs.
What?
And very intelligent.
Very intelligent. Do they wear armor?
They do.
Whoa.
And the Roman, like the Trojan hat with the fuzzy.
Do they hide in a horse?
Not that Trojan hat.
The one that looks like a push broom?
Yes. And that's going to, they're going to phase out two of the factions, but they'll rotate in and out.
And what is Keyforge for people that may not be aware?
Keyforge is the two-player deck game by Richard Garfield. But this one is you don't construct your decks. The deck you get is the deck you play. Hmm. And they are 100% unique. Every deck is different. Billions and billions of combinations.
And Richard Garfield is the one who did Magic the Gathering, correct?
Yeah.
He is making all that money, yes.
Oh. I'm going to hit him up then. So Keyforge probably is balanced and interesting that every deck is different.
Yeah, and now that they're adding some more more factions, well, I guess that's billions of more combination possibilities.
I like it.
Next up, a new co-op, Arkham Horror, Final Hour. This is meant to be a faster, quicker get-it-to-the-table Arkham game where it's the final hour. The ritual's done. Cthulhu's on his way, and you have to cooperatively reverse that final spell that they did, that the Acolytes did to summon Cthulhu, and try to get it done. And it plays in less than an hour, they say.
Oh, see, when you said final hour, I thought I was going to decide what food I was going to eat for my last meal.
Well, if someone said, hey, we just summoned Cthulhu, I would probably be with you. Well, I need a pizza from Spiro's.
Where's the nearest buffet?
One of their bigger announcements is Fantasy Flight's doing Marvel Champions, a co-op living card game. Super good art. I'm not 100% sure on the game mechanics yet.
I see Spider-Man.
But yeah, we got Spider-Man, we got She-Hulk, Vision, all the Avengers, Thanos. But it's a cooperative playing against the system, so one big bad comes out. But not like Thanos Rising. It's more all card-driven.
Yeah, so I'm guessing probably a lot like their Game of Thrones. Well, they have a Game of Thrones LCG, and they've also got the Lord of the Rings LCG. So the LCGs, the limited collectible games, are very much in their wheelhouse.
Well, the LCG is living card game.
Living,
and the point of that is that every expansion is the same. You're not looking for boosters. You're not hoping for rares. If they announce an expansion, we know what the cards are and we can both get them. And what it brings it back to is the skill of playing the game, not the luck of getting the rares.
Yeah.
I will play any game that has superheroes in it. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why, but I just love that universe so much that, I mean, I could be getting my ass kicked as Spider-Man by, Thor and the Avengers, and I wouldn't care. But, being co-op is kind of a cool take on it, though, to be honest with you, because they do have that whole, come together as a team, because at the end of every movie, you see the cap on your left. That moment's great.
Well, you're going to look this new one,
Yeah, if you love Marvel,
if
you love Warhammer, War Machine, tactical miniature games in general, coming from Atomic Mass Games, which they announced at the in-flight report, which was quite interesting, Marvel Crisis Protocol Miniatures Game.
Woo!
And this is full Marvel, fully painted, or not fully painted, excuse me. They're sprued and unpainted, so you get to build them just like a Warhammer War Machine. Full tactical game. Comes with tons of terrain. All kinds of stuff. And they're announcing the base box right now, and then plus they have the Thor expansion, and then you'll be able to buy individual characters. You'll be able to buy booster packs. It's probably going to be pretty big.
Those pieces look incredible.
They're hard plastic miniatures, so they're super high quality, super high detailed, and you have the freedom to paint them up however you wish.
I spent a summer getting very into Warhammer 40K and super glued myself to myself so many times that, I'm glad to see these miniatures might be a little bit more put together.
And that is why you own mineral oil.
But my sister's boyfriend actually paints miniatures, so if this does come out, I may have to ask him if he's got some spare time.
Ooh, no, see, that's good. We get it for him. He paints it, we play it.
I mean, I like this idea.
Yay.
I mean, miniatures and Marvel, you got me, essentially. I that sounds perfect.
Another big one announced at the show. You guys know PAX is coming, right?
Where?
PAX West, it's coming.
For those of you who don't know, that's in the Seattle area.
In the video game world, there's a little game called Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes! Keanu Reeves, baby!
Well, Cool Mini or not, announced Cyberpunk 2077 Afterlife the Card Game. I cannot wait. I love all things cyberpunk. I don't even care how to play this game.
Right? It's just that genre is so cool. That vibe that you get, the pinks and the blues and the rich darkness. I don't know how they do it, but it always catches my eye.
So a lot of these are just teasers from Cool Mini right now, but I can't wait. It's just the art looks amazing.
Oh my god, think like BioShock meets Mass Effect or something like that.
Yeah, we got a guy here with a big old shotgun getting shot in the head, but he's got a lot of cybernetic implants, so he just keeps on going.
It ricocheting off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a Netrunner feel to the art.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
And then for me, the next big box of game announced by, Cool Mini or not, from designer Eric Lang, artist Adrian Smith, Ankh, the board game.
I'm Conk.
This is, do you like Egypt?
I love Egypt.
Do you like Egyptian gods?
Very much so.
Would you like to play as Egyptian gods?
I would.
Okay, are there elephants? Because then Joe's totally
Are there war elephants?
I haven't seen any yet, but I'm currently stuck on Anubis. So.
Anubis is also pretty awesome.
But yeah, in Ankh, the board game, it's going to come to Kickstarter soon, and it's going to be their next big minis game. And if you are familiar with Eric Lang and Blood Rage and Rising Sun and all these amazing games with all the amazing miniatures, Ankh, Gods of Egypt is the game for you.
I
will be
box.
Backing this, Ethan, so just mark me down now, please.
Already done.
Full in, whatever the all in is.
You got it, buddy.
Do you have a favorite miniature game to break out, Ethan, especially when someone asks you?
Favorite miniature game?
Yeah.
It's Blood Rage for sure.
Yeah.
I love Blood Rage.
Blood Rage is really good.
Recently, Kemet now. Kemet is...
Yeah.
Oh, man, so fun.
If you like attacking people mercilessly, which Sean does, but he never does in Kemet. It's odd. He loses.
Yeah, I get wrecked in
Kemet. How many times have you played Kemet recently?
Two recently.
Which honestly is a lot because Kemet's big game.
But we played about a year ago too, and he lost that one.
I can't win.
I love that you remember that.
Correct.
I remember when Sean loses because honestly, it's not often.
I don't think I've ever been in a session where Sean has won. To be honest,
I've never won ever.
You do beat BJ, which is funny because he gets enraged. It's like everybody else beats you. Why can't I?
But him.
That's secretly Sean's goal. He doesn't want to win. He just wants to make sure BJ gets last.
Yep. So I was like, this crest over BJ, I'm good.
Kemet is actually the next game on my list to play with these lovely fine individuals because...
Say, if you like it, I have it too. I haven't played it in a hot minute.
So. Really?
Kemet is good. I love Kemet. I can come reteach it to you and we will get you Tassetti and we will get you the Seth expansion and we can get paint all your minis. It's going to be so awesome.
Oh my God. His face right now. Wow. Okay, here's a tangent though. Like I mentioned earlier that I had a few folks over to my house because I just got a new house. So like, hey, come check it out. BJ the entire time was eyeing my house, not like, hey, you know, kind of like proud dad status, but then he had this like glisten in his eye.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like, what's going on here? He's like, this space, like your like where my dining room table is, like this is a really good space for gaming. Like you have a really like just the kitchen's right here, every like we need to do some gaming up here. Like he was just looking at it to see how many people he could fit into my house and what kind of games we can play and what can we add on. Like it was actually kind of funny.
So if we buy you a new dining room table, you would like that as a present, right?
I mean something that seats like six or eight.
If underneath the topper it's actually a board game table underneath, you'd be happy.
I'm surprised you guys aren't buying this for yourselves, but I will take it. I'm not going to say no.
I do have one.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's pretty amazing when you watch BJ go into a house now because he becomes an interior decorator, except that everything is themed for how can I fit the most board gamers in this area.
Well, yeah. What kind of games? Like, I need a little side table because he always gets the little, what do they call the dinner...
The TV
tray tables.
TV tray tables. He puts those on the sides. It's like, okay, we can put these here so we can put our drinks so they don't touch the game.
You should see when he comes in and he's like, I got four people coming in. I'm like, cool. So I get him a table for four. And he's like, can we get an extra table? I'm like, oh, okay.
So basically just four. Add two.
Just for my stuff.
Always add two.
He's got his little game cart and then like a bag full of snacks like popcorn and stuff. And
He's trying to stay healthy. Yeah.
He's two seats for the food and his games.
Yeah.
It's like you accommodate our peepaw very well.
That's true.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, it's so funny though. Right after we were done gaming at Vicky's, he tells me, he goes, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to get rid of this couch we have. And I'm like, what? Why? He goes, you know, when everyone comes over, they want to be in that same space. And, you know, people don't want to play board games on a couch. They want to play it on a table. So I'm going to move this couch to outside somewhere, and I'm going to get a new gaming table. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my mom, and my mom's like, you think you're going to get rid of the couch so that you can put another board gaming table in? Because our dining room table has a board game mat on it permanently.
What's the downside exactly?
I was going to say, do you guys actually use the couch often?
I don't, and my mom does, though. And although she does live in a different state half the time.
She likes California.
She likes the couch, and it was a nice couch.
Put it in a different room.
Okay,
take it to California, just get it shipped.
I think she's a little worried that there might be more permanent board gaming residents. People around that, she won't have her space
well,
anymore.
Well, see, that's the thing. If you get rid of the couch and the table, no one can crash on the couch.
Oh, that's true.
That'll see it. I'm helping.
And after those 16-hour 4X games that you guys play, everyone needs to sit somewhere.
Exactly.
By the way, this is how bad BJ was. I totally just remembered this little piece of information. And he didn't even tell me. He was just telling other people. He's like, oh, she lives near the casino, and they have a really nice hotel there. So I can definitely get a room for the night, and we can do a 3-day weekend kind of thing at her house. I was like, what? What?
That would be cool.
BJ for 3 days at my house. Oh, God.
No,
help me.
VickyCon.
Vicky, what is it? 4DXCon.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Ethan.
Zulus, you'll sponsor this, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
In other words, you'll bring some games and show up.
Yep, sure. And hang out with us.
Bring the pie and fees paid.
Already there.
Awesome.
So I guess party at my
house. So what weekend are we doing this, Vicky?
Weekend at Vicky's.
You guys all heard Vicky say she wants this, right?
Right. Oh,
she
God.
She supported it, yeah. That's what I heard.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us. Ethan, thank you for joining us on this episode as well. My God, we have a new con we've just introduced, VickyCon.
Victoria's con.
That's our replacement GenCant, right?
Yeah, exactly.
when we can't GenCon, we go to VickyCon.
Oh, well, Josh, take us away.
All right. I have nothing clever. Play nice.